Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I'll go ahead and tell you. These are some of my favorite passages right here. Now faith. Remember that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Woo! I like that. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. I desire your prayers tonight. Praise God, I'm fired up. I'm ready to preach. I've been excited about this message for a while. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I approach this throne of your throne of grace tonight, dear Lord. I come before you, O Lord, my mighty King, my provider, my Lord and Savior. I come before you on behalf of this word tonight, dear God. I ask, Father, that you would pour out upon me that divine anointing, that divine holy unction, dear God, from the Holy Ghost. Anoint me tonight, dear God, to preach with the holy fire of God, that I might bring forth this word tonight, dear Lord, in a way that would magnify and uplift and glorify the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise and magnify you. Anoint me, dear God, that I might bring forth this word in a way that would glorify you, that would uplift you, dear God, that would be pleasing in your ears, be pleasing in your sight, dear God. Let it be done as according, dear Lord, to your power and your glory. Let your anointing, dear God, be upon us tonight. And let the word go forth in a way, dear God, and such all of those under the sound of my voice, they might receive this word, they might be strengthened by it, they might be nourished by it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and pray. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Jackson, I need for you to wake up, son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not out here. I was just trying to get his attention to look at the live stream. He's running the board. I told you to remember the first two words that came from this. The first two words that come from the passage are now faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance of something hoped for. Substance is something you can touch. If you're hoping for it, you ain't got it yet. Right. Now think about that a second. The substance, something you can touch, of things you ain't got yet. Right. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence is something that proves that something exists or is in a certain condition. Evidence of things not seen. Faith is something you can touch that you ain't got yet. And proof that something you need is right there in front of you. Come on now. But that's not where I'm going with this particular part of this message. Think about now faith. Say now faith. Say it like you mean it. Now faith. You know what now faith is?
Faith that
wasn't later. Faith. Now faith is faith you have in something right now. Not faith that's, well, I might see that later on. Now faith is the faith of something. You ain't seeing it right now, but you expect it to any second. Now faith is you speaking and expecting it to come into place. Now faith is like that lame man that laid by the gate beautiful when Peter and John come walking by and he lifted up his cup expecting to receive. He had faith that they was going to put something in his cup. What he was expecting was something to happen. What he was expecting was a little bit of money. But what he got, John said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee, arise and walk. Hallelujah. And he put up his cup expecting to receive. He didn't receive that little coin, that little nickel or quarter. He received his healing. He received the power of God. He received the blessings of God. Now faith, sticking up your cup, expecting to receive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll talk about faith a minute. There's several stories told. One story is told about a town back a few decades ago. The town was suffering a drought. There was no rain. There had no water come. We're talking about drought and rain this morning. Remember that? The town's crops were suffering. They were having trouble. They were not going to be able to feed themselves. They all gathered together for a town meeting at the center of town. They had a town meeting. They said, we need to do something. Well, what can we do? We can't make it rain. Somebody suggested, well, we could pray. Let's schedule a time to go pray at the edge of town. And everybody said, all right, we're going to go pray at the edge of town tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The next day, all the town people showed up, went out there to pray. One teenage boy was the only one that brought an umbrella. That teenage boy brought an umbrella because he said, when I pray for rain, I expect to get rain. Hallelujah. Nobody else brought one. Glory to God. I was reading something else the other day that just tripped my trigger. Faith is going hunting for Moby Dick. You know who Moby Dick was? Moby Dick was this gigantic, enormous whale that destroyed whaling ship after whaling ship after whaling ship and killed many men hunting him down. Faith is going hunting for Moby Dick in a rowboat and taking the tartar sauce. Think about that a minute. That's now faith right there. They're saying, I'm going after Moby Dick, and I'm going to get him. I don't care how big he is, how many ships he killed and destroyed. I'm taking my rowboat, and I'm going to dip him in my tartar sauce when I catch him. Anybody got that kind of now faith? I know that's funny. I know it's a joke. But see, that's the kind of faith that Noah had. God told Noah, now I ain't going to get Noah and Moses confused tonight. I done it this morning. God told Noah that it was going to rain. And when God told Noah it was going to rain, I don't know because the Bible don't say this, but I expect Noah said something like, "What's rain?" Because at that time, it had never rained on earth. Well, Brother Mac, how did they get water? At that time, water sprang up from the earth and watered the ground and watered the plants and watered the grass and the trees and the food. That's how water came. It had never rained before. And God told Noah, build an ark, because I'm going to make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to flood the earth. You know what Noah did? Noah laughed and said, "I don't know what rain is. I ain't building no boat." What's an ark? There was one joke that Noah was standing there in front of this sign that said Noah's Park, and God said, "I said ark." What did Noah do when God told him to build an ark? He went and started cutting down trees. Do you know how long? Now, wait a minute now. Noah went, and first thing he did was go start telling the people. God says it's going to rain. He's going to flood the earth. But everybody else said, "What's rain?" And they laughed at Noah, because Noah, according to the Bible, Noah was a perfect and upright man. Did you know that? And everybody laughed at Noah. They mocked Noah. And Noah said, "Come on, fellas, we got to build an ark. Come on, help me." Nobody would help him. All he had helping him was his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And they all went out there and started cutting down trees, and they built an ark. According to the studies I have done, do you know how long it took them to build that ark? 140 years. 140. And the whole time, I can see it now. You know, out in Johnson County, where I mostly grew up, the folks wouldn't hang out. They'd drive their hot rod cars out to the car wash. And in the parking lots, they'd run that strip up and down Kenan there, 301. And they'd get and sit out in the parking lots on the hoods of their cars and make jokes and laugh and have a party and talk about each other. I can see all them folks during Noah's time pulling up their Camaros and their Mustangs. Pulling up right there in front of Noah and his sons building that ark and laughing at him, making jokes at him, picking on him. Yeah, they's probably drinking. They's probably drinking a whole lot. Amen. They were out of control. But God sent Noah to tell them that he was getting ready to destroy the earth, and it was time for them to get their hearts right. Noah was a preacher. Noah was an evangelist. And he was also a boat builder. Not by choice. But it took him 140 years. Can you imagine him and them four boys out there cutting wood and sawing wood and putting that boat together for 140 years, and every day them old Johnson County boys out there in their car mocking him? And y'all know they won't go Johnson County boys out there with the cars, right? I'm being funny. I don't want nobody to take it seriously. But them folks was out there mocking and making fun. Then one day, all of a sudden, when he built this gigantic boat, the door was on the side of it, and the door wasn't nothing but a ramp that fell down on the ground. And that ramp was sitting there. One day, seven of every kind of clean animal in the world started showing up to that boat. And two of every unclean animal started showing up to that boat and walking on. And fellow's going, "Well, what's he feeding them folks, getting all them animals to get them to come in that boat? What's he doing?" Can you imagine them boys on them cars sitting out there? "What's he doing? Where's all them animals coming from?" And they all come out there, and they still didn't get it. Even after that started happening. And then it come down to the day that it was supposed to start raining. Noah sitting there telling them, "Come on, fellas. There's still time." Noah started doing what God told him to do 140 years. He worked 140 years. But Noah had now faith. Amen? Noah had the kind of faith that was going to see the power of God move. And one day it started raining. And when it started raining, you can see it in the Word of God. Noah did not close the door of that boat. Noah didn't do it. God shut that door. And when it started raining, it comes such a torrential downpour of rain. Noah said, "Hey, what's that?" Somebody said, Noah said it was rain. And they said, hey, it's rain. That means Noah might have been telling the truth. Oh, no, he won't. I don't know what this is, but that ain't what Noah was talking about. And God shut the door. And it started getting deep. The water started rising to the sides of the ark. And this fellow said, hey, wait a minute. There might be something to this. I'm going to tell you something. It wouldn't have took me that long. Just as soon as I felt the first raindrop, I'd have been saying, hey, man, you're right. Let me get on that boat with you and all that stinky house. But they didn't. The door was closed, and they started beating on that boat and begging Noah, Noah, please open the door. Noah, please open the door. Now, a lot of people think, well, Noah must have been a cold-hearted rascal because he didn't open the door and let all them people in that he'd known for all those hundreds of years. Back in those days, men lived to be hundreds of years old. And Noah was not cold-hearted. I guarantee you, if Noah had had the choice, had had the option, he would have opened that door. You know why Noah couldn't open that door? Because God shut it. If God shuts a door in front of you, you ain't gonna open it. If God opens a door in front of you, you better go through it. But if God shuts a door in front of you, don't sit there and try to get in. Don't try to walk through something God has shut. But God shut that door, and all those, had to be millions of people, drowning right outside that boat. And Noah and his sons and their wives and their children were alive and inside and doing fine. You know why? Because of now faith. Amen? Because when God said do it, Noah didn't say why. Noah didn't say, Lord, let me put out a fleece in front of you. Lord, let me go ask some of my friends if they think it's all right. Let me go ask this other friend who knows God. Let me go ask him what he thinks. If God says for you to do it, you need to do it. Because now faith comes when you believe God. Now faith comes when you trust God. Now faith comes and lets you see miracles. Hallelujah. There's been a lot of times in my ministry that I would say things, I would speak things, and I would do things, fool. He's just some charismatic old man, young man. He's some charismatic rascal trying to hype up people to believe in something that don't exist anymore. Like when I've seen all those cancers dissolve. Like when I laid hands on that dead man and he got up. Amen. Like when those broken bones that I have prayed for, not just me, but other people have prayed for, and the bones mend and heal exactly. So much so that the next day x-rays were taken and they couldn't show you what bones had been broken. Cancers dissolved. Diseases healed. Blind eyes open. Deaf ears open. Dead men getting up. Healing's taking place. Because when God said, if God said to me, go lay hands on that. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. Renee and I, Pastor Sarah and Alicia, we were at this church in Hamilton called the Hamilton Church of God. And it was a round building. And I'd been there about 3 years. Not quite yet, three, but a little while. And we'd seen some miraculous things. That ministry, that youth ministry, was traveling all over the country. My youth ministry was traveling all over the country. Let me say that again for people who couldn't hear it. My youth ministry was traveling all over the country because they were on fire for the Lord. They were being called to go and pray for people. They were being called to go lay hands on people because they were seeing miraculous things happen. They were being called to go to different youth groups and teach them how to pray and teach them how to be a part of a Pentecostal awakening among young people. We were traveling the U.S. and we were there and people started coming. The church started filling up with young people. And the young people coming in, they started bringing their mamas and daddies with them. And the church started filling up. We went from 235 to 600 in that church before I left. And it came because the youth ministry was on fire for the Lord. Amen. One Sunday, this man came in with a 10-year-old girl, his daughter. He'd just gotten custody of her. His daughter, her name was Christine, and she was no bigger than a 10-month-old child. Because when she was just a toddler, a baby, her mother, who was an addict, a junkie, couldn't make her stop crying and threw her up against a wall and damaged her brain. She had plenty of sense. She was cognitive. She could carry on a conversation. She was a sweet little child. But when her daddy brought her in, he had to hold her because she wasn't even strong enough to sit up by herself. He brought her in, and we just happened to be in the youth, in the sanctuary that Sunday morning. And the youth in my churches, they always sat on the front two rows on this side. And the youth was sitting there, and he came over and he sat two seats over from them on the other aisle, holding this little girl. And I sat there and I looked at him. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "I'm getting ready to tell you to do something." He said, "You've seen miracles. I've showed you miracles. Now I'm getting ready to show you a healing. A miracle is something that happens right in front of you. You lay hands on somebody that's sick, you lay hands on the dead, and they wake up and get up. They're healed. But a healing is something that takes place over time. I'm getting ready to teach you. I'm getting ready to show you a healing." And he told me what he meant. He says, "I want you to go over and ask that little girl's daddy if it's all right with him if you and the youth group come over here and lay hands on her and pray for her." I said, "All right." In the middle of service, I remember doing it. I said, "Sir, the Lord just asked me to come ask you if me and these young people can come over here and lay hands on your daughter and pray for her." He said, "Sure." Little girl smiled. Oh, she was so precious. I went over to my kids. I said, "That little girl needs healing." And I told them what the Lord told me. I said, "She's not going to get up right in front of you." I said, "But when you get done laying hands on her, God's going to start healing her little bit by little bit right there. And we're going to see it." And they said, "All right." You know, the kids trusted every word I said. You want to know why? Because they saw a bunch of them miracles right in front of them already. So I took those kids over there, and they were smiling and hugging on that little girl and praying for her. And we prayed a simple little prayer. Just prayed for God's healing to take place over her. And then we went back to our seats, and she was smiling. We were smiling. They got up and went home. 2 weeks went by, and we didn't see them again. And on the third week, they came back, and he was pushing her in a wheelchair. She was able to sit in a wheelchair by herself. Then they were gone another 2 or 3 weeks, and they came back, and she had been in the hospital. She'd had two surgeries because her bones and her legs started growing, and they started outgrowing the skin. They did surgery on her so that she wasn't pulling her skin apart. And little bit by little bit, we started seeing things happening for that little girl. She started, I'm telling you, she'd been that way for 10 years. That sweet little precious girl, she'd been that way for 10 years. And every time we saw them, something different was happening. Well, as such as people do, he got mad at the church about something. And he disappeared for a year, about a year and a half. And when he came back, he wasn't pushing her in a wheelchair. They had built her a special walker, and her arms were strapped to it at the top. She had braces on her hips to her ankles, and she was walking just a little bit at a time, and she was about that tall. In 6 months' time, she started coming in without that walker and just in braces. Do you know what she's doing now? She ain't got no walker. She got no braces. God healed that child. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead, Mason. There's people in this house. God has spoken to you. When God speaks, I got a question for you. Because he speaks to us, you know, quite frequently. God told Noah to build an ark. You know what he did? He built a boat. He built an ark. God speaks to us to step out on our faith. I know he speaks to you and he tells you, I'm getting ready to do something. If you'll do something bold and big, I'm going to show you something bold and big. Let me ask you, what do you do when he tells you that? Do you build a boat? Do you bring an umbrella? Do you get in a rowboat with your tartar sauce and go hunting Moby Dick? Or do you sit there and say, I don't think it'll happen? My Bible tells me that Jesus said, you've seen me and the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. You know what he was saying? He said, just because I'm leaving don't mean the supernatural miracles that I've been showing you have to go with me. He said, I've showed you how to do it. I've given you the power of the Holy Ghost. I've given you all the faith that you can get from me. Now go out and do what I told you. Do it like, and he said, if you'll do it, if you're going to take it on by yourself, you'll do greater works than I've done.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, hope for the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.